Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
The world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Welcome, good morning, Valley sports fans, to a very rare Monday night in the month of January. Monday Night Football playoff game tonight in Los Angeles involving one of our sports teams. Not a bad way to spend a Monday.
Not a bad way.
Yeah.
It's going to be a busy day for
right.
One Dan Bickley. Radio duty.
Mm-hmm.
Jetting on over to L.A., mm-hmm. Covering the game. All kinds of coverage on ArizonaSports.com.
My wife ordered some masks just because we were out of them, so I had to have one to bring with, right? So they show up at the house.
Yeah.
Hot pink.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah!
Hot pink. What am I to do with this?
What do you mean, what are you to do?
You put it on your face.
Look like a baller is what you're supposed to look.
That is hot pink, is that not?
You could. That's hot pink.
That's hot pink.
You could go full hot Carlin pink. And just
only,
build a whole outfit around it.
Yeah, make it pop.
You would do that. You would
know,
do that.
If any man can pull it off, Dan,
yeah, it's
it
me.
Is you.
Okay.
Embrace
I'm
going to
wear
masculine.
It proudly. Yes, absolutely.
Masculinity. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, what, Jared?
What? Come on. You're above that. You could wear, men wear pink.
That's right.
I have no issues. I'm just making fun. It's something my wife would do. Zorder hot.
It wasn't
pink
even
masks.
Like an assortment pack. It was just all pink.
Right. Yeah. No.
Wow.
Yeah, all
she
pink.
Did it
yeah.
knowingly.
Right. Yes. But I'm sure she did. Yes.
Funny.
I'm sure she thought these will be great for my daughter and I. Is what she was thinking.
Never mind the breathing male individual
no,
in the family.
Thank you. Welcome to my life. Exactly. Now you're getting a clear picture.
At least it'll work with your skin tone.
Yeah, there
You've
go.
Got the tan
you
to,
you know
to
what?
Compliment it.
Rock that thing, Bick.
You could borrow some of my pink socks, shirt, whatever you want.
All right, this is cool. All right, let's have some fun today. We got a playoff game today. Start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball. Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Oh, yes. January 17th is finally game day. The Arizona Cardinals and Los Angeles Rams get together tonight at SoFi Stadium for the sixth and final game of the NFL's first Super Wild Card weekend. And, man, was it super. Of course, the team split two meetings this season with the Cardinals winning convincingly in L.A. in Week 4. Rams returned the favor at State Farm Stadium later on in a Monday night matchup. Reports over the weekend say J.J. Watt will be on the field indeed tonight for the Arizona Cardinals. Watt has not seen action since Week 7 when he suffered a shoulder injury. But this is an unequivocal fact. The Arizona Cardinals are undefeated when J.J. Watt plays football for them. Huh?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
For the Rams, safety Taylor Rapp is out. He's in the league's concussion protocol. We already knew fellow safety Jordan Fuller is out. So due to necessity, that means Eric Weddle, who has not played a snap in the NFL in two seasons, will see action tonight. Sean McVay, the head coach, talked about that over the weekend, but they feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Winner moves on to face the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers next week. Loser, they start their offseason. Kickoff 6:15. All the coverage right here all day long leading up to
Let's
official
go.
Pregame coverage starting at 1:30.
Yeah, it's all there right in front of the Arizona Cardinals right now. The amount of questions, lingering questions they can begin to answer, if they can knock down a team, maybe two, if they can actually make a playoff run, what that might do to the Valley. A lot of people want to believe in this football team. A lot of people have believed have reason to doubt them. At certain points in time.
Who was the hair metal band that sang Give Me Something to Believe In? Is that Poison?
Sounds like it could have been.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
They're all the same, though.
Yeah.
Super wild card weekend. First five games decided by an average of 16 points. The most interesting game yesterday was in Dallas, where the Cowboys trailed San Francisco 23-7 heading into the fourth, but rallied to within a score, needing a touchdown and an extra point to tie and facing a second and one from the 49ers' 41-yard line with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. Dak Prescott took off on a quarterback draw, gained 17 yards, but then couldn't get the ball snapped to clock it for one last shot at a Hail Mary. If you ask anybody in Dallas, it's all the officials' fault, and that includes the players and coaches. San Francisco moves on to face Green Bay at Lambeau Field next week.
Not surprised. Not surprised that this is how the Cowboys went out at all.
We talked about it
spectacularly.
After
that is how they fail.
The Cardinals-Cowboys game, the only thing Cowboys players focused on was they missed that fumble at the end of the game. It wasn't anything about their shoddy performance for three-plus quarters. It was all about what they what got done to them by the officials.
Oh, yeah.
That team, I don't know how they operate because they have absolutely nothing resembling a heart. None. And it's fantastic.
It is.
And
it
is. The memes that were unleashed on the world last night from Cowboy fans are so gold.
Well, we talked about this going in. Who would be the team with the most to lose this weekend in football? Let's hope the Cowboys answered that yesterday.
Yes.
keep all Cardinal players off that list. Well, Matthew Stafford, that would be good if he joined that. That would be good.
Tom Brady threw two touchdown passes. Bucks defense forced three Philadelphia turnovers. 31-15 win over the Eagles. It wasn't that close last night. Kansas City opened its bag of tricks with Patrick Mahomes throwing for 404 yards and five touchdowns. Chiefs beat up on Pittsburgh 42-21. That will likely end the career of Ben Roethlisberger, in case you hadn't heard. On Saturday, Cincinnati won its first playoff game in 31 years, 26-19 over the Raiders. Buffalo toyed with New England, pounding the Patriots 47-17 behind five touchdown passes from Josh Allen.
I told you that was going to happen.
Oh, that was great.
That was so clinical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe
it was rabid. It was vicious.
Most one-sided offensive performance in playoff history.
Yeah, Josh Allen was breathing fire.
Yes, he was. The Suns kept their winning ways going yesterday in Detroit. They put up a season-high 135 in a 27-point win over the Pistons. Suns set the tone by shooting 80% from the floor in the first quarter and then ended up shooting 58.6% for the game. Devin Booker led the way with 30. Cameron Payne, JaVale McGee each chipped in with 20 off the bench. Not all good news, though, as DeAndre Ayton suffered a sprained ankle, played only 7 minutes. Suns move on to face the Spurs in San Antonio tonight in a game that gets underway at 6:30. Pre-game coverage starts at 6. That's on ESPN 620 AM and 98.7 FM HD2. Coyotes in action today, an MLK Day matinee against the Montreal Canadiens. The Yotes coming off back-to-back losses to Colorado on Friday and Saturday. Listen to this, though, Bick. Going into this game, the Coyotes have more points than their opponent. Montreal, a league-worst 19 points coming into the game.
That's stunning.
Face-off 2:30. Pre-game coverage, 2 o'clock. That's on KTAR News 92.3 FM. We got a packed schedule today. ASU basketball is in action today, hosting Utah in a rescheduled Pac-12 game. That begins at 2. Pre-game coverage starts at 1:30 on ESPN 620 AM. ASU football added a new quarterback to the fold, former Alabama signal caller Paul Tyson, transferring to ASU. Tyson is the great-grandson of legendary Alabama coach Bear Bryant. He's got 3 years of eligibility left.
Yeah.
And look, maybe this will work out better than the last time ASU got a quarterback transfer from Alabama.
Oh, right.
Remember how excited people were about Blake Barnett?
It was inconceivable that a quarterback from Alabama would transfer to ASU.
It was a coup.
Yeah. There was a lot of stardust there.
Turned out to be not so
cool. Not a lot of quarterback.
Wasn't much coup-like about it.
Right.
On the Australian Open got underway, down under, and Novak Djokovic. He will not defend his title after being deported again over the weekend due to his vaccination status, leading to the cancellation of his visa. Reports now circulating that Djokovic could be barred from playing in the French Open after the French Sports Ministry said he'd received no exemption from France's new vaccine pass law. On the court, top-seeded Australian woman Ash Barty Cruz, 6-love, 6-1 in her opening round match.
Let me tell you, as somebody who really wants the tennis all-time majors record to be in the hands of Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer, I like this karma working against Novak Djokovic.
They showed his last six Grand Slams, his last six majors.
Uh-huh.
Thrown out of the tournament for hitting a linesman.
Uh-huh.
Second place, first place, first place, second place. Thrown out of the tournament for not being back.
Thrown out of the country.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Any, no one's ever had a stretch like that.
Yeah,
in the
that's pretty good.
Has any Grand Slam player been deported twice from the same tournament? I don't think so. There you go. There's your splash for Monday, January 17th. And you know what that means. It's finally here. Wild card game. Cardinals-Rams. We'll dive into it next. It's Bickley and Murata mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Of course, man, I come to practice with some good energy every day, letting them know, man, that this is a big opportunity. I'm not going to sit around and act like this is a regular game because it's a big game, and you got to embrace that and embrace that you get to be able to play in an NFL playoff game on a Monday night. That's a blessing, man, and that's big time. So, you know, you got to come out, bring that energy every day, work hard. The intensity, of course, you're going to take it up a little bit. It's a playoff game. So I don't want to scare guys and make them feel like, oh, this is the biggest game ever. But you don't want to sit back and act like this is just a normal game because this is one of them games that you live for as a football player.
It's Marcus Golden of the Arizona Cardinals letting his team know about the importance of this game. Not that he needs to, but that's just in Marcus Golden's nature. He's kind of a linebacker, pass rusher, motivational speaker all rolled up into one. And it is an interesting place for the Arizona Cardinals to be in. The Cardinals, more than any of the other 13 teams, they limp down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You go 1-4 in your last five games after starting 10-2, and you've kind of built a little bit of a mountain of doubt about you. And to Marcus Golden's point, the Arizona Cardinals collectively have an opportunity, Bick, to knock down that mountain tonight by getting back to what they did when they were 7-0, when they were 10-2, because they have quite honestly not looked like the same football team over the last month plus.
There are, I think there are high expectations here across the board. I think it was a kind of a lackluster weekend in the NFL playoffs, not a lot of competitive drama. And I think people are looking at this and hoping that this is the game everybody sees it to be. I'll tell you what kind of game I hope it turns out to be. One of those games where the Cardinals win the coin toss and they defer and they kick off to start the game and they come out and they take the field and you look at the defense and you know, you can just feel that they're on a different plane in terms of energy. And then they make a negative play on first down. They get the team off the field, maybe even kind of coax Matthew Stafford into an early mistake, like a first quarter interception that just swirls that doubt even more around that guy. That would be a real good way to start that game tonight.
It would be, and we've seen the Cardinals use that kind of pattern in games of the past to success when they are able to win the coin toss. They're able to defer and make something happen, whether it's a quick three and out and hand the ball to your offense or force that early turnover. And there's been games where that's been the recipe and they've coasted. You know, it might even be more paramount because of what you just mentioned. All the doubt about Matthew Stafford and all the picks that he has thrown. And I read a stat this morning and it kind of caught my eye and I didn't have a chance to jot it down. But of the last eight interceptions that Matthew Stafford has thrown, seven of them have been non-Cooper Kupp targets. That's something to keep in mind tonight because they had their hands full with Cooper Kupp and they will again tonight. Even if the Cardinals secondary is more whole than it has been, we don't know. We don't have any definitive answer on who's going to be available. Cliff Kingsbury playing that game time decision card again on who's going to be available. You know, they should get a lift emotionally from J.J. Watt, and hopefully it's more than an emotional lift. Hopefully it's a statistical lift and maybe a turnover lift from J.J. Watt.
Yeah, quarterback pressures kind of lift for J.J. Watt. I look at this thing and I think so much has been made about the pressure that Matthew Stafford is under. And a lot of it's very, very true. But I do believe this. If Matthew Stafford loses this game tonight, I think the Rams are right back in the conversation again next year And I think next year will be the year that, people will really know about Matthew Stafford. That's not to say he's not under pressure tonight. He is. But I think that if you asked any honest Rams fan, do you want to mulligan on that trade? Do you want your two first-round picks and Jared Goff back? Or do you want this guy? If you polled Rams fans right now, I bet you overwhelmingly they would ride with Matthew Stafford going into this game tonight.
Yeah.
Now, that could change.
Yeah, that by about 10 o'clock tonight, that could be completely flipped. Yeah.
And if they lose tonight, I mean, are they any better off than they were with Goff? I mean, with Goff, they were a perennial playoff team.
Yeah.
With Goff, they actually got to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So if they lose, no matter what Stafford's stats were, which are obviously superior to Goff's any year, if they lose in the first round, they really would not have accomplished any more than they normally
do. And yet they're the team that's coming into this playoff game with some sturdiness about them. Even though they haven't won pretty, they've found a way to win, four of their last five? Or is it five of six? What is it?
It's four and one in their last five.
And, the
and they have doubts about
the
them.
Right.
They've won, but they haven't looked great.
Right, exactly.
Going back to the Matthew Stafford point, I thought this was really interesting from Sean McVay's press availability over the weekend. A reporter asked, hey, you know, kind of the scenario you just set up, so much is heaped on Matthew Stafford's shoulders starting tonight because he was this upgrade. Sean McVay was asked, is it fair to judge Stafford's season solely on this game?
I think that there's so many layers to playing the quarterback position, and to exclusively just rate whether we win or lose this game on how that pertains to his performance, I think it's short-sighted. You know, and I think you got to be able to put some context around it. You know, we'll be able to have a better discussion on how we played and what the game ended up happening. But there's a reason why you play 17 games. He helped us, you know, win a division. He was a huge part of that. And kind of like I had mentioned earlier on in the week, you know, I just have tremendous respect for how much goes into this position and how much he has learned and really taken ownership on everything that we're asking that was totally foreign a year ago, you know, and even less than a year ago. And so he's only getting better. I think he's done a great job leading. He's, you know, his teammates love him. His coaches love him. And so I know that this team is excited about the opportunity to compete against a great football team. See if we can do everything in our power to let it all hang out and go advance. And I know Matthew feels the same way, but I think he's had a successful season. We want to go as far as we can take this thing, Kevin, but I don't think it's exclusively a reflection of what occurs moving forward. And, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion on that, and I totally respect that.
Yeah, the end of that is the key. Of course Sean McVay feels that way. You know, he's been, you know, through a full football season with Matthew Stafford. There's a lot of mutual respect there, but it's really not up to Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the public on this front. If Matthew Stafford falls on his face tonight and goes 0-4 in the playoffs and the Cardinals move on, the heat is going to get hotter. The noise is going to get louder going into next season because they did mortgage a lot of their future.
Well, and I think you're right. But I think that game would look like there would probably be a pick six in there for the Cardinals, a couple of interceptions. That kind of game, right, might ding him up pretty good. That there's no doubt about that, because if you're the Rams, this game is not only a one-off against another team in the NFC. This is a confrontation between a team you're going to be battling with in the division.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like as big of a stakes as you're going to get between these teams. And there's going to be like a lot of psychological ramifications that come out of this game. If Kyler Murray and the Cardinals beat Matthew Stafford in their first playoff battle against one another,
mm-hmm.
that will affect what happens going forward.
It will. It will.
Think about the psychological scars mm-hmm. that Buffalo put on New England.
Oh, yeah.
Going forward in that division by destroying them like that. This is like
it was heavy.
At stake for this one, too.
Oh, it was heavy, but it was also, you know, 20 years of scars being inflicted on Buffalo by New England, and they didn't hold back. It was,
that's right.
It was kind of beautiful
to
watch.
It was fantastic. It really was.
The Matthew Stafford question, though, is he doesn't ever really play full horrible games, or at least he hasn't. You know, there's been those stretches with the pick sixes and the costly interceptions. That's been well talked about. But even in week four, when the Cardinals went to L.A., and really played one of their sturdier games of the year and beat the Rams soundly, Matthew Stafford wasn't horrible. He threw a pick. He threw another one that was nullified by a penalty. But he's always going to put up his numbers. 26 of 41, 280, two touchdowns and a pick. That's usually good enough to win a football game.
Yeah. No, and along the way, too, there's been a lot of sensational. So there's know, there's a lot of highlight reel stuff in there that means something to his, to the fan base in Los Angeles as well. So, again, I don't think they'd ever want a do-over on that trade to get Matthew Stafford.
Nope.
I think tonight it could ding that reputation, but I think there's a lot of good that he's done along the way too. This is going to be fascinating. I really hope that this is going to be the end of what otherwise was, like I said, kind of a bleh opening weekend in the NFL.
Yeah, it really was. The golf tournament held as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off on February 7th, runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now for your chance to win tickets, plus one lucky winner will win greenskeeper passes. Coming up next, the Dallas Cowboys once again disappointed. And outside of Dallas, that's never a disappointment. We'll get into that and more from Super Wild Card Weekend next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Prescott in the gun, runs up the middle to the 30. To the 25 and slides. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did he spike it in time? Didn't get it spiked in time.
They haven't said anything official. The back judge, the man deepest away from the ball, he's got the clock. He's keeping track of the clock.
Scoreboard clock is running at zero.
Yeah, so he would be the one to determine where the clock was. Now, again, this could...
That's the end of the game.
Oh, wow. There you go.
That was a scene in Arlington yesterday at the end of the game. I don't know about you, but watching that play, the draw play with 14 seconds left from the 41-yard line, and Dak Prescott takes off because the 49ers line up in a defense that's going to take the sidelines away.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he took off running, I said to myself...
What the hell
is he doing?
Yeah. It was a very, very cowboy game, a very cowboy way to lose. There was a lot of lack of discipline. There were a lot of penalties.
It wasn't their fault.
No. It was the refs' fault. The world's against us.
Ask Mike McCarthy, the head coach for now of the Cowboys.
We call thresholds and, the field position, what yard line you're at and what you're trying to get to, too, based on, defense that they're trying to, the defense that they were playing. They were in a sideline defense, so they were protecting the sidelines. And so that was the best option to, to be able to get the ball. I mean, it's like anything else. Do you want to be running the Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. It's just like anything. The execution between us and the officiators putting the ball obviously wasn't in tune. We shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. If that's the quote you're looking for.
You shouldn't have had any problem because everybody talked about it after the game, and Larry Fitzgerald was getting a lot of love yesterday because in those situations, we've seen it time and time again as Arizona Cardinal fans. He knows what to do in that situation, and Dak Prescott got up and handed the ball to his center. That's not what you do.
No.
Now, the official was certainly late getting there and lost his balance, certainly, but he's got to touch and set the football.
Yeah.
And when you have 14 seconds and no timeouts, that's the risk you run. Mike McCarthy could sit here until he's blue in the face and say that was the right decision. It wasn't. You didn't get a second play. It cost you the game because you didn't execute it. I don't care how many times you practice that.
Yeah, so you are basically then doing what? You're basically saying we're setting ourselves up for one throw into the end zone?
Yeah, from
one manageable throw into the end zone rather than a Hail Mary attempt into the end zone rather than two deep balls. I didn't get any of that.
Well, the Cowboys' attitude and Cowboys fans' attitude afterwards were, if they got that play, it was a foregone conclusion they were scoring.
I know, because 32-yard touchdown passes grow on trees in the NFL or whatever it would have been. I don't know. Where was he?
I think he was at about the 24 after that run.
Okay, yeah. All right. To me, there was and I like Dak Prescott a lot. I think he's got a lot of really good qualities to him. When he burns, he can burn hot, but there's a ceiling to him. There's an element to him that you don't always trust. Vance Joseph exploited that in their primetime game this season, confused him. And I think yesterday that's a classic case where you've got to have a clock going off in your head and you've got to have this worked out.
Yeah.
You've got to know. You just got to know. And if you don't, then it's the wrong play to call. And that's where I'm at. It's if, like, you've got a guy like Dak Prescott, who you don't necessarily trust to have that clock and to know exactly what to do with it in that situation to get that ball clocked, then call something else.
You're on the best case scenario. You're counting on clocking the ball with 1 second left.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so risky reward.
Run a tight end over the middle. Like Vinny said, they've got the sidelines covered. Have the guy catch the ball and take a knee. Immediately.
But then you still got to clock the ball.
Right.
That's still
But you might be better off taking two Hail Marys from the 41-yard line.
And that's probably what I would have done, personally.
So did Dak Prescott took responsibility afterwards, right?
Must have.
No.
I mean, it's risky, but when you practice it, as I said, as we've done over and over again, you're not necessarily... You're not necessarily worried about it. You're trusting your training and everything that you put into it. As I said, I went and ran, got down. As I looked up and was getting behind Tyler, once again, saw the 4 seconds, thought it was time. And, the rest, you don't prepare for things like that. But, I mean, I guess we'll start having to, knowing the way this just played out.
Yeah, again, when you practice that in the future, Dak, practice handing the ball to the official.
Mm-hmm. How many pre-snap penalties did the Cowboys have yesterday?
They had a total of 14 penalties for like 89 yards in the game. But again, it's not
very,
their
very undisciplined, unprepared football team.
Listen to this. Fans start throwing stuff on the field as the officials are leaving. Dak Prescott thought the fans were throwing stuff at the Cowboys and then was corrected that it was at the officials. Listen to this.
That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to the sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah. They were at the referees.
Well, credit to them then.
Credit to them then.
Well.
After just
I was admonishing the
fans for 30 seconds about they should never do something like that.
Right. Oh, but if it's at the officials, good for them. Because it wasn't our fault that we lost the game.
Yeah.
What you said about Dak Prescott, I'm not a Cowboys fan at all. I actually, like a lot of football fans, take a little bit of pleasure when they lose and they suffer, which is a lot, by the way.
Right.
Uh-huh. Dak Prescott fell so many rungs on the respect ladder yesterday for that. He'll come out and he'll pay his fine. And he'll apologize and say it was the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
That is absolute Bush League crap from Dak Prescott.
Yeah, no, it is. And
if you want to go back to how you handle a situation, go back to a Saturday game when the Las Vegas Raiders lost a game by 7 points and a touchdown was credited to the Cincinnati Bengals. That was absolutely botched by the officials. And they asked Rich...
Who, Jerome Boger?
They asked...
Botched a call? You're kidding me.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
They asked Rich Bisaccia about it. He's like, they did a good job. I credit to the officials. You move on. You take your loss. Take some responsibility for, I don't know, the 100 other plays that happened during the game.
And let's not ignore the fact that the 49ers did everything they could to choke that game away
absolutely.
And give it to Dallas.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous, stupid... penalties, turnovers, play calls that they did.
Just when you thought Jimmy G was like climbing a mountain, there's that one terrible interception.
Yes. Yep. They're going to go for it on fourth down and they get a false start and they have to punt it and get
Also,
were you happy? I mean, obviously we all wanted Dallas to lose. Were you happy in the sense that now if the Cardinals win, they get to play the Buccaneers?
Yes.
Even though they're the defending Super Bowl champions, Tom Brady?
Well, listen. It's a great question because watching the Buccaneers play defense yesterday, that Eagles offensive line is no joke. And the Bucs swatted them about like
swallowed
a cat
them
toy.
Alive. Yeah.
Really. And I'm like, that defense could put a hurting on the bad Cardinals.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I mean, I may be wrong and we might not ever find out. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals right now are equipped to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and beat the Packers at Lambeau Field in January.
Yeah, so I think you prefer Tampa. I want the BA drama, right? Because you know what that would mean to BA. right?
Mm-hmm.
For those who know that the divorce with BA was a little more than sunshine and roses on the way out, you know, there'd be some heat behind that game, let me tell you. And that's an extremely physical defense, fast. And they just, like Jared said, swallowed up the Eagles.
The NFL's first foray into expanded playoffs with seven seeds didn't go so well.
Whoops. Yeah.
I felt like I was watching the college football playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we'll probably talk about it later in the week, but I don't think this means that it was a bad thing, though, because it still made the regular season more exciting, which is essentially the point of it more so than...
That is true. Week 17 was pretty good.
Yeah.
And next week might be really good, too, but so far it was
a
lackluster week for the NFL playoffs. You can text your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Different sense of urgency for the Arizona Cardinals. Their coach feels it. Is it true? We'll find out. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata talk cards in the playoffs. Now,
definitely a different sense of urgency. I mean, there's no tomorrow if you don't get it done. There's no redos. There's no, hey, we're already in the playoffs. This is it. And then throw in it's a division opponent that we're very familiar with. I've had two really good games with. There's been a lot of juice at practice.
It's Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, from over the weekend about that different sense of urgency, which you can look at a couple of different ways, Bick. Mm-hmm. You could look at it and say, well, yeah, I would hope there would be a different sense of urgency anytime a team wraps up the regular season with a chance to compete for a championship in the playoffs. That intensity should be different. It should be more. It should be increased. But then you look at it and go, is that really a thing? Because the Cardinals down the stretch have had opportunities to play with increased intensity and have failed to do so.
Well, and this is why tonight is a crossroads in so many different ways. You remember last week when you, for whatever reason, you were compelled to go back and watch the first Rams game?
Mm-hmm.
Your comment the very next day was, man, you forget how good they were at that point in the season,
yeah.
How good they were in that game. So whatever makes the Cardinals that team that was really good in those big moments early and not so much later, way better on the road than they are at home, whatever it is in that stew of theirs. Do you like a good stew, Jarrett?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm just curious.
I wouldn't put it in my top, 10 favorite things.
Okay. Soup.
It's no soup. No chili.
No, it's not as good as chili, but it's good. Stew with a little, potatoes and carrots.
Gotcha. So whatever
nice
gets
gravy
in that, right.
On maybe noodles or some rice.
There you go.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Big warm bowl on, a cold day. Heaping portion. Very
bread.
Filling. Nice.
A lot of
crusty bread.
Bread.
You're dipping.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
A big spoon, of course.
Definitely. A big meat spoon.
This has been Stew Talk with Jarrett Carlin.
Whatever is in that stew of the Cardinals that makes them that team, could they now go back to being that previous team? And to do what they say they want to do, it's going to require that. I mean, look at this. You're going to have to beat the Rams and Matthew Stafford on Monday Night Football, go to Tampa on a short week and deal with that defense and Tom Brady and all the BA noise, and then after that you might have a trip to Lambeau. It's either this football team has kind of got this championship bones to it or it doesn't. And we're going to find out a lot now. And yeah, it's a growth process. And yeah, sometimes teams have to go and play that playoff game to get a taste of it. Tell that to Devin Booker.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly different in the NFL where it's one and done, mm-hmm. one and move on, or one and done. But I also, over the weekend, went back and watched the second Cardinals game against the Rams, the Monday night game from State Farm Stadium.
That one wasn't so good, was it?
No, the Cardinals still had chances. But it was just a different looking team. There was a lot of defeated body language. There was the turnovers, a couple of huge turnovers in that game that really swayed things. And, talking about this giant stew, a big ingredient in the stew for the Cardinals this year has been they're a really good road team.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as I want to have confidence in that for the Cardinals, I don't think it I don't think that applies or carries over to the postseason.
Because it's hard to kind of really define what you mean by that. Why is it that? I do think that one of the things that's tangible that you can look at and say, this is what we had once and we don't now, the red zone scoring threat in the passing game of DeAndre Hopkins meant everything to this team. It's partially why James Conner has so many touchdowns. And I'm not trying to take any credit away from James or his great season, but there was a time early on when DeAndre Hopkins scoring in the red zone made it look simple.
Mm-hmm.
He was just burning dudes off the line of scrimmage and just like standing there when he caught the pass. And it was like, how do you do that? And I think that element has been very difficult for this team to replace.
Yes.
Somebody who is going to make big catches in space in the red zone.
But it is interesting to note that the last time these two teams played on Monday Night Football, DeAndre Hopkins played in that game, most of it, got injured late, and that was the last time we saw him on the football field. So those struggles had started, and I know maybe he wasn't 100% coming back from the initial injury where he missed the same three games that Kyler Murray did after getting hurt against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But those struggles had started at that point.
Yeah.
And now they're just magnified because you don't even have him as an option.
Yeah, and it's going to be, and then you get to talk about the vibe in that arena. Like, so if you were in Los Angeles right now and you were waking up and you were, what are you feeling about your football team and what is that going to mean? Yeah. Jared, you turning on my mic for some reason?
No, I didn't touch it.
That was weird.
That was odd. There's a lack of trust in Los Angeles as well. Because if you're one of the storylines is how many tickets are still available. I've talked to quite a few Cardinals fans who are indeed going.
Yeah.
And bought good tickets. So if they wear red jerseys, they will be seen. Probably not like the 49ers, certainly not like the 49ers. I'm fascinated to see what we get out of tonight, because if you're the Rams, this is your way to try to harness something that you've lost along the way.
Yeah, and a lot of it, too, in terms of not having a good feel for what your confidence level is from the Cardinals side is, mm-hmm. The shell game going on with availability. Who's going to play? Who's not going to play? I mean, we can go over the whole laundry list of players. Here's Cliff Kingsbury over the weekend on the status of the cornerbacks.
Yeah, healthier. Obviously, still don't have Rob Alford back, but Marco has been able to do some things in practice this week. KP being back has been good. And Rashad, unfortunately, was sick yesterday and so didn't practice. But, he was out there today, and he's still getting acclimated to our system.
Rondale Moore.
Same deal. He'll be a pregame determination. We run him around out there before the game, see what he looks like, see if he can do what he does, and take it from there. He's progressed the last couple of weeks, but we got to see what he feels like.
James Conner.
I'm not sure. I mean, he was able to do some things, but we have to see Sunday pregame what he feels like and take it from there.
Look, I know why it's done, but monitoring the comments of the head coaches in this game.
Yeah.
Sean McVay comes out on Saturday and says, Taylor Rapp's not going to go. He's out.
Yeah.
He's still in the concussion protocol, and there's a clarity to it. I don't know if it helps your team or hurts your team, but it certainly gives you a better feel of what to expect.
It's almost borderline paranoia here, Vinny. And I've said this many times, the Cardinals are not alone in the way they handle this kind of stuff. But they are pretty severe in shielding pretty much everything. And I don't know why that is. I personally hope that Cliff Kingsbury wins tonight. They go on something of a playoff run, and it not only makes everybody feel much more content about the overall direction of the program and the capabilities of it and the ceiling of it, but it loosens them up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we could see a completely different mental approach from the Cardinals. And maybe the pressure of the regular season and trying to finish strong and grasping at a win to get into the playoffs took its toll.
Maybe.
We've talked about that possibility. There's a clean slate feeling to the playoffs. Yes, there's no safety net because if you lose, you're done. But maybe that's a freeing quality that this team goes through tonight. The mystery about it is tremendous.
Yeah.
And, that mystery is added to by the fact that we don't know the status of a lot of key players for the Cardinals.
Do you think
right
it'll
now.
Be one of those games where we'll know within the first like one or two possessions how it's going to go?
I think that's been one thing that's been pretty consistent for the Cardinals is you can tell which team showed up very early.
Yeah, like I said, I can see if the defense is bouncy and in the other teams in the Rams backfield consistently, then I'm going to feel really good about this team. And again, it's like, does Matthew Stafford make a big mistake in the passing game or does he make a big play early on? Does he beat that Cardinals secondary deep over the top of something that electrifies the building as much as it can be? I don't know. These are the great variables. This is I know that if I were the defensive coordinator of the Cardinals, that's the way I'm going. I'm pressuring Matthew Stafford to make him answer that question.
Yeah, we could find out very early to answer Jarrett's question. Coming up next, Cardinals play tonight on this big red Monday, but Sunday was kind of a big purple Sunday for the Suns in Detroit. We'll get into some Suns and Four talk next. It's Bickley and Murata, mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.